just take a minute right now to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, my God, Lord, you are worthy of praise, oh Lord. Lord, you are worthy of glory, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, there is not anything good in my life, oh Lord. There's not anything good, oh Lord, in my job place, oh God, or in my church or in my home, oh God, that is not from you, oh Lord. There is not any good, oh God. There's no blessing, oh God. There is no grace or mercy, oh God, that did not derive, oh God, or originate, oh God, from our King on high, oh Lord Jesus. So, Lord, let us come together today, oh God, with one mind, one focus, oh Lord. We are going to give to you, oh God. We are going to uplift you and say thank you, Lord, oh God. Not just with words today, oh God, but with action, oh Lord. With our lives, oh God, with every decision that we make, oh Lord. Hallelujah. With every step that we take, oh God, we're going to say, yes, Lord, you are the one and only, oh God. And only through you can we be saved. And only through you is our blessing found, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Ezra 5:17. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did, in fact, issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision in this matter. You may be seated. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if the king Cyrus did in fact issue a decree. When decrees were made and decisions were made by the king, they were written down by their scribes and kept for records. So what they're really asking right here, right now, just to give you some context, I'm going to give you the story that leads up to this moment. But what he's really saying right now is, check the record. Then decide on what you will do with us. But first, you need to check the record. Let's just recall what's going on right now. Quick synopsis again. 1040 BC, the reign of Saul, David, and Solomon for 120 years. 960 BC, kingdom splits, Israel to the north, Judah to the south. That lasted for 350 years. 606 BC, Babylonian exile, destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of their temple. Then in 539 BC, Babylon falls to the Persian kingdom. And the first time in 70 years, Jews are allowed to return to Jerusalem. And now we're going to discuss this phase of returning. Ezra 1, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to also put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem and Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and Levites, everyone whose hearts God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts in addition to all the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought by Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. Right now in the scripture, God has impressed it upon Cyrus's heart at this time to build up a temple in Jerusalem. At this time, the Persian kingdom and the Babylonian kingdom had two different kind of philosophies. Babylonian kingdom, when they took over land, they destroyed, they decimated, they left no trace of prior religion or prior kingdoms or prior architecture. They were to integrate fully and completely with Babylon. Persian kingdom was a little different. God may have impressed it, but Cyrus may have believed it was for his own good. See, the Persian kingdom at this time, that when they conquered lands, they kept their religions of the localities. They wanted to make the people they conquered complacent. Well, at least we have our own things, and at least we have our own God. And throughout this time, it was such a mix of religions, because there was, throughout the Persian Empire, just different religions here and here and here, and it was all set to just to placate the people for the time. Well, Cyrus may not have known that this was said by Jeremiah was coming true through him, and that God was using him to restore what had been lost and destroyed. There's a couple points to make here. Israel was not just at home. Israel was given purpose. They were given mission. God had called them to not just go home, but to rebuild the temple. Why is the temple so important? The temple has always been the center of the Israelites. Where there was a temple, there was home. With the restoration of the temple, return to the laws of Moses, and the return of obedience, and in a life away from idolatry of self and of other pagan gods that had separated themselves and caused that destruction of Israel and the exile of Israel to begin with. It was a return to obedience unto the law of God. And when you build the temple of God, you're not just building a temple for symbolism. It was a temple of worship. So with the restoration of the temple, you are restoring a life of worship, a life of reverence, a life of exalting the God and making him the foremost, not just in our words and in our expression, but in our decisions, in our thought. Does this please God? Is this what God wants for my life? Does this go along according to the law? Ezra 3, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings. In accordance with what was written in the law of Moses, the man of God, despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord both morning and evening. They're starting to return to the laws and the principles that was written first by Moses. Verse 8, it says, in the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites and all who had returned from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work. They appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua, the sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad, and their sons and brothers, all Levites joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple, the priests in their vestments with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So not only at this time were the people called, they were rescued from a life of slavery. They were brought back to their home from 70 years of exile with a calling and purpose. It took about a year for them just to settle in and to restore their homes and their what normal life was going to be before they would start to build the temple. And what excitement was brought to them when just the foundation of the temple was laid. It's a milestone. It was a year of being fearful of what was around them. It was a year of the enemy around them just looking at them at what was going to happen. It was a year of starting from nothing. Everything was destroyed to rebuild their homes and their lives, to get back to the focus of their prior of their first priority, the rebuilding of the temple. But as always with especially the Old Testament, there were just two themes that are always so constant. There are two things that always happen, either one after the other, but these are constant. One would be the fall of Israel, fall from the grace of God, usually through idolatry. Idolatry of self, of what I want, of what I think is important to me, or through the mixture of the intermingling of all the nations around them, and they may go to the temple on Sunday, but they're burning incense for another god on Monday and Tuesday, and they're sacrificing to a third god on Wednesday and Thursday. Through compromise and disobedience, they've always going back in the circle of falling from God and living with those consequences and seeking out after God. The second theme is no matter how far Israel comes and how far they go and where God wants them, there is always an enemy around. There's always an enemy that is ready to attack, that is ready to disrupt, that is ready to frustrate, that is ready to poke at, to mock, to belittle. There is always an enemy around that wants to make you rethink your decision. Why are you doing this? Make shame upon you. And make you feel frustrated, make you second guess the decisions that you've made to serve God, makes you rethink that God really called me for this. Let's think about that today, right now. God called them to build a temple. God is calling us to build our temple. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before this temple can be built, there is a temple that God has called us to build. And so many of us have maybe started off with God and then left. And maybe that was our time of exile. Or some people don't even know. For 70 years, the people who first were exiled, they were barely a fraction of the people that returned home. The Israelites that returned home, they never knew what it was to be a free and independent people. They didn't know what the first temple of the Lord looked like. They just knew that they were living a life that they did not want, a life of burden and oppression. So it means two different things, two sets of people, but the instructions are the same. We are to build our temple. So now we got two themes that are always going to come back in our lives. Are we going to fall from idolatry of self and of selfishness? Or intermingling of what God wants and what this world has told us is okay, and now we've compromised. We go to church on Sunday, but we're serving the world on Monday through Friday. And now we find ourselves in this cycle of, I fall out of the grace of God, and I've ended up in this situation, and now I come to an altar, and I cry, and I feel good for just a moment, but then I go back, and now it's been 7 years, and Lord, what's become of my life? Lord, I must find you. Or on this journey of building our temple, we come to face to face with the enemy who does not like us, does not accept us, does not understand us. What we stand for enrages them. What we believe in bothers them. It pokes at their core. Look at just what America's going through right now as morality in itself is on a decline. We have problems in our economy. We have problems in our school systems. We have problems with different diseases and drug addictions and abuses. Because we thought it was okay to remove us from the foundation of this country, which was based on Christian principles. We decided to take God out of our schools, and we decided to take the name of God out of the workplace and get it away from our government buildings. Sometimes it amazes me the decisions and the thought process behind some people on politics. When did this become okay? When did this become normal and acceptable? When was doing the right thing now the wrong thing? And why that which has been wrong since the foundation of our country suddenly so right? And you are the pariah if you don't believe it. And you are the outcast if you don't understand. So now as we're trying to do this calling of God in our lives, which is to first restore and build the temple, now we find opposition all around us. Ezra 4 said, when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, let us help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of the heads of the family of Israel answered, you have no part with us in building a temple to God, to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, like as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us to. This was wisdom on their part right here. You may be offered help. It starts off with the enemies of Judah. The enemies of Benjamin are offering help. But so often we compromise what our original statement and our mission is when we involve outside influence to intermingle with us. It changes the core of who we are. We never see the full realization of what God called us to be. You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord. That was our calling. That was our mission. Then the people, verse 4, then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and to make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So these same people who once offered help, we're the same. We're like you. We want to help. We want to build. They're the same people who are here to destroy and to frustrate and to make your lives harder. There are people who would just, if you are living a life for God and you are upholding your values, there will be people around you who will never understand. There's a world around us who just cannot accept what we are and who we are because it defies who they are. And it takes a change of heart to win one soul at one time. So now they're bribing officials and they're frustrating their plans and they're discouraging the people. What are you doing? This is never going to work. This is burned to ashes. Stop wasting your time. This is never going to be what it was. And this happened from the reign of Cyrus to the reign of Darius. That is Cyrus, Xerxes, Darius, three kings of reign. But see, they're not done right now. So what they do now is they send a letter to the king of Persia, to Xerxes. Ezra 4 and 11, this is a copy of the letter they sent him to King Artaxerxes from your servants in Trans-Euphrates. The people of Israel were on one side of the Euphrates River, and the enemy was on the other side. So they are not referencing Trans-Euphrates is not the people of Israel here. The king should know that the people who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Has anyone been talked about? Anyone's integrity? Anyone's intention been skewed and turned around. What you meant for good, the enemy is making you look like a liar and deceitful. Furthermore, the king should know that if the city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid. And eventually the royal revenues will suffer. Now they're placing implications. This happens, this is surely going to happen. You won't get paid. There will be no taxes. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace, and it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king. We are doing this because it's our obligation. We must tell the king that Israel is doing no good. We have no personal gain or stake in this. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. We are sending this message to inform the king so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that this city is a rebellious city, troublesome to kings and provinces, a place with a long history of sedition. That is why the city was destroyed. We inform the king that if the city is built, its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in Trans-Euphrates. Now we have this big conspiracy. They will go through the records. They will see a history of Israel that has fought to defend itself, that has fought to grow its kingdom, that has followed the rule of God. But they will take that truth to suit its needs. How does that sound familiar? They will take a truth, take it out of context, and fit their purpose. That's what our enemy does to us. They will take a piece of the truth or a piece of a story, and they will attribute conspiracy and intentions and lies. Now you're someone you can't even imagine. Ezra 4 says, "The letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I issued an order and a search was made, and it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against kings and has been a place of rebellion and sedition. Jerusalem has had powerful kings ruling over the whole of Trans-Euphrates, and taxes, tribute, and duty were paid to them. Now we issue an order to these men to stop work so that the city will not be rebuilt until I order so. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to the detriment of the royal interests?" As soon as a copy of the letter of King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum and Shimshai, the secretary, and their associates, they were immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Are we taking mental notes? When God has called you for a purpose, when God has called you out of exile and called you out of your oppression and has given you focus of mind, and he's saying you must first rebuild the temple. See, there was a nation that was to be built, but first you needed to rebuild the temple. There was going to be problems and enemies and circumstances. There will be roadblocks on our walk and roadblocks on our mission for God. Just as it was with Israel, that's what it is for our lives. I take two steps forward with God, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing, and now I've fallen into my own selfishness. Lord, I'm sorry. Now I feel like I have to start over. Or there's just enemies on all sides of us, and nothing is going right, and we're just so frustrated. And Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what to do right now. If he's like, nothing is going right with me, is this what I'm really supposed to do? It is so important to have a body of Christ. It is so important to have a man of God to teach us and to speak to us, to guide us. Ezra 5 says, "Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Edo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. What we have here through teaching of the man of God and encouraging the man of God, we have the leader of Israel at this time, Zerubbabel, and Joshua with renewed focus and renewed vision. Our mission will come true. Our purpose will go forth. So they begin to rebuild the city, and they begin to rebuild their temple, and construction goes on. And now we have the enemy coming to their camp. What's going on? If we read further, we will see, who authorized you to rebuild this temple? Who told you you could pull up those stones? Who told you you could put up those logs and build that foundation? Who told you you could build upon? Tell me, who is in charge? What is his name? Give me something. I'm going to report to the king. Ezra 5:7, they wrote another letter. Verse 7 says, the report they sent him reads as follows: to King Darius, cordial greetings. The king should know that we went to this district of Judah to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with large stones and placing the timbers in the walls. The work is being carried out on with diligence and is making rapid progress under their direction. See, the enemy's bothered when the people of God are doing what they're supposed to do. It's going to make them uncomfortable. There's something wrong with it. They're going to attribute fault to what we are doing. It makes them uncomfortable. Verse 9, we questioned the elders and asked them, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it? We also asked their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for your information. This is the answer they gave us. We are the servants of God of heaven and earth. We are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean king of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and deported the people of Babylon. This is so important right here. Before they attribute any kind of fault to the enemy, they reflected of ourselves. Our ancestors did not do what was right. We have a history and a heritage of angering God and falling to the wayside. Because of this, we were subject to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who destroyed our temple and destroyed our city and exiled our people into slavery. Verse 13, however, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. He even removed from the temple of Babylon the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor. And he told him, take these articles and go and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God on its sites. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God in Jerusalem. From that day to the present, it has been under construction, but is not yet finished. So not only does the enemy write a note to the king, they perfectly reconstruct what was said to them in this note. In that note, you see obedience to the man of God. They were instructed by the prophet, and they continued to work. When you have that structure in your life, it's an opportunity for one, instructions for your life. At some point we came to God because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what life had intended for me. I was frustrated and upset. Didn't like where my life was headed. I know I needed more. I know I failed God. I needed instructions. That instruction still stays. It's an opportunity for teaching and discipline to know what God wants from us, what God doesn't want from us. How did I fall before? What mistakes did I make previously that led me to that path? Because that's not the path I want anymore. It's an opportunity for encouragement. It's an opportunity to build faith. When you have a man of God in your life that you adhere to and you listen and you have obedience to, it's an opportunity to build passion in your life. This was a proclamation of what the Lord had called them to do. We were given permission by Cyrus to rebuild this temple. And as of yet, its walls, this construction is not yet finished. So right now he says in Ezra 5:17 again, says, "Now if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives." Remember, we're liars. We are conspirators. We're thieves. We're troublemakers. We're trying to build our own and do our own. This is what the enemy has attributed to Israel right now. So he says, "Now if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did in fact issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision in this matter." So now we have the heads of Israel, Zerubbabel, and he's telling the enemy, check the record. We know who we are. We know what our mission is and our purpose is. You can check the record. So often I'm so dumb telling us in our own lives as we rebuild our temple and as we have to face daily ourselves and keep this flesh under subjection, and we are frustrated and we think we cannot possibly get over ourselves. I tell you today to check the record. When there's an enemy all around us that is distracting us and poking at us and prodding us and discouraging us, telling us that we cannot, we must not, we will fail, we are no good. I tell you now, it's time for us to look into a mirror and check the record. When we are scared or unsure of our purpose or the next steps that we must take. Church, now is the time to check the record. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Hallelujah. Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Church, it is time to let the distractions go to the side. It's time to look ourselves in the mirror and say, "You," it is time to check the record. For it is written, we have a word of instruction and of encouragement and of passion and of faith. We have a foundation to build this temple on. The foundation has been laid. Psalms 121, a song of ascents. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Hallelujah, Lord God, we give you glory. Hallelujah, Lord God, we give you praise, oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though an enemy may come around us, our God is protecting us both now and forevermore. We don't have to be consumed by the distraction of our enemy, consumed by the distraction of self and of this world. We are people who are called to a mission, and that is to first build our temple. A foundation has been laid. It is time for us to build up the stones no matter what the enemy says. It is time to put up the timbers into the walls no matter what the enemy thinks or believes. "For in the time of trouble," Psalms 27:5, "he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Saints of God, when the enemy's around us, and we just feel so alone and we're just so confused. Is this what God really wanted? Is this what God really entailed? I don't see my path anymore. I don't see the end sights anymore. All I see is the enemy and their attack and my destruction. Psalms 55 and 16. As for me, I called to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Hallelujah. Psalms 143. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. You will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Psalms 18 and 17, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. That is true. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighteth in me. Hallelujah. We are no longer cornered by the enemy, but we are open here. He sets us into a broad, open space where every direction is open and is our choice. Do we walk and serve God? There is no enemy that can corner us, that can pin us down, that can stop us from the call of the Lord. It is time to take these scriptures of prayer. Devil, it is time to check the record. Enemy, it is time to check the record. Luke 19, 10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. We have promise. We have a God who is for us. So when the enemy is on the side, we can take his promises to prayer. Enemy, it is time you check the record. We are the victor. We have promise. Our God is for us. We cannot be defeated if we are following his plan and his mission. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Don't worry about the haters. Don't worry about those who are attributing falsely to you, or ill intentions, or who question and mock what you are doing, who try to stir up those around them against us. Let your witness be obedience and adherence to the will of God, and let God handle the rest. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God did not send us on this mission to build the temple just to leave us alone. There might be a time of frustration as we're trying to build this temple for a greater work of God. Because once we build this temple, it's time to bring all that we've done into ourselves. We've been feeding ourselves for a little bit now. We've been building our own temples for a little bit now, right? And once we have built up those walls, then we've put a roof on there. We have a temple of worship in ourselves. Now it's time to bring the materials back into the house of God. We are to build up this temple by your talents and by your faith and by your prayers and by your sacrifice and by your adherence to God's call. I will work and serve and sacrifice for others. There will be obstacles along the way, but says God, there's a record. So how does Israel's situation, how does this end? Ezra 6 and 6 says, now then, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar Bozenai, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere. This is the response of Darius after he has now checked the record. After he is seeing that this was permission given to them. This was the work that the Persian kingdom has given to them. Now he's saying to them of Trans-Euphrates, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its sites. Hallelujah. That in itself is a victory. That in itself is safe haven from the enemy. We can continue our march encumbered by the distractions and without the interference and without the bother of the enemy. But in verse 8, there's more. In verse 8, it says, moreover, I hereby decree that you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of Trans-Euphrates. This wasn't going to be on Israel's dime anymore, folks. Now the enemy is paying for the work of the Lord so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings to God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail. So they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house and they are to be impaled on it. And for this crime, their house is to be made a pile of rubble. This was no joke. Not only had God given them rescue and safety from the enemy around them, they were going to fund their project. They were going to fund the construction and building of their temple. They were at the beck and call of the needs of Israel, the beck and call of the needs of the people of God. Church, I'm telling you right now, we have been in a time where we have been trying to get work done around this building. We are looking to have a new temple for our church. We want to be a beacon in the city of Cleveland. And trouble keeps coming around us. Church, it is time to believe that there's going to be an enemy that is going to be putting up some cost right now. There's going to be an enemy God's going to give us favor in their eyes. They're going to be coming to us. What can I give you? What do you need? What do you need to make this happen? Folks, there is a promise in the Word of God. It is time that we check the record. Hallelujah. A lot of us have been working on this temple. Hallelujah. And building it and restoring it to something God can use. And we've been coming here. And thank you for your faithfulness and working on this temple. Hallelujah. Lord, let the work be too much for this place to handle alone, oh God. Lord, now we need something bigger. Now we got to be ready for sacrifice. If you're still working on this temple, it's time to get it together because God has called you to first build a temple. There's a city that needs to be restored. There's a city that needs to be called back to God. There's a people, hallelujah, that God is calling back. Hallelujah. Verse 13 in chapter 6, then because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tatnai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Boznai and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet. Hallelujah. As they began and continued the work and the construction of the temple, they continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Edo. They did not let this victory go to their heads. They've won. Now they could do their own thing. They continued under the direction of the man of God who the Lord had sent. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month, Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Hallelujah. There is a temple that God has called us to build. There's a foundation that's been laid, church, and we are called to build upon that. But we got to first check this temple. Has this temple been corrected and fixed? Has this temple been rebuilt in the way God wants it so that I can be a blessing to this temple? Hallelujah, church. Are we at the point where we're just frustrated? We know what our mission is. God's given us a calling at some point. God's given us direction and a desire, but we're just so frustrated. We have an opportunity now, church, to build the temple. Opportunity now to check the record, put the enemy in its place, put this flesh under subjection, and to be more for the kingdom of God. See, there was a city of Israel that needed to be restored, but the call was to rebuild the temple. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to be here with you today. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to get to know God. If you could just stand for a moment. I just want us to pray together just for a quick moment. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, you've given us all temples, oh Lord, to build and to reconstruct in our lives, oh God. Lord, would you help us today, oh God Almighty, Lord? Would you bring your word back to our remembrance, oh God? Would you help us, oh God Almighty, focus, oh God, on your promises, oh God? If we will follow you, Lord God, if we will put you first, oh my Lord, hallelujah. But there is no enemy, oh God, that can stand against us, oh Lord. You will keep us safe, oh Lord. You are with us, oh God, now and forevermore, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, let me be a blessing, oh God, to my family, oh Lord Jesus. Let me be a blessing to my church, oh God. Let me be a blessing to my neighborhood, oh God Almighty. I must be a light, oh God. I must be a witness, oh God. But if I have not built my temple, oh Lord, then where is my worship, oh God? Where is that proof, oh God, that you are King of all, Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that we all take time as we go, Lord. We must check the record. Our enemy ain't got nothing on us, oh God. We can check the record, oh Lord. Hallelujah. That sin that keeps plaguing our lives, oh God, it has not won, oh God. We can check the record, oh Lord. The selfishness, oh God, can be placed in check, oh Lord. There's a record to be checked today, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're calling us for more. You're calling us for greater. You're calling us, oh God, to reach a city, oh God. But before a temple can be built here, a temple must be constructed here in our own lives, oh God. Hallelujah. Call this body the temple of God, oh Lord. Hallelujah. It must not be defiled, oh God, or neglected, oh Lord. Hallelujah. We love you today. We thank you for our mission, for our calling, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you all glory and honor, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy, oh God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Let's gather up front here. Check the record right now, folks. Come on.
Hallelujah.